Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Jason Opdyke, CEO of Rockland Technologies. Jason has spent over two decades deeply embedded in the wireless networking space, consistently identifying innovative solutions that bridge practical business needs with cutting-edge technology. Under his leadership, Rockland has evolved from an early e-commerce distributor of networking equipment into a major player in the LoRaWAN and IoT ecosystem, providing essential hardware and support for both enterprise solutions and hobbyist projects. Jason's recent work highlights the practical integration of Meshtastic, a decentralized mesh network that operates independently of traditional internet and cellular infrastructure. He shares insights on how businesses, from emergency response units to elder care facilities, are leveraging this technology to improve efficiency, safety, and operational insight. Jason emphasizes the critical role of LoRaWAN in delivering real-time data collection and analytics, enabling smarter resource allocation and decision-making across various industries. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation's IoT Working Group. Helium offers global LoRaWAN coverage and is used by everyone from hobbyists to businesses deploying countrywide networks. If you'd like to see if Helium coverage exists for you, check out the links in the show notes. To get started using Helium today, you can sign up for a console account with Medio Scientific at console.medioscientific.com. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Jason Opdyke. Jason, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely, Nick. Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be on the show. Followed you for a long time.
Yeah, I'm psyched to have you on here. I guess we should start this thing with the kind of current hotness in LoRaWAN, which is this Meshtastic thing. What are you seeing on the Rockland side? What's going on with that?
Absolutely. So Meshtastic is growing. For those in your audience that aren't familiar with it, it's just basically an off-grid, decentralized point-to-point messaging system. You don't need any cellular service, any Wi-Fi, anything like that. You can transmit point-to-point, but it's also mesh technology, so it's going to hop around. You go very far. I think the record's like 300 kilometers or something like that from a point-to-point location. So we're seeing a lot of interest, not only from hobbyists, Nick, but businesses as well that are interested in integrating this type of communications technology into their businesses and into the things they do on their daily workflow.
Got it. And of course, this is separate from a LoRaWAN. This is kind of your own little private little mesh network. I think we're seeing some stuff where you can pop out of a LoRaWAN onto a mesh. But I haven't paid a ton of attention to that. I have seen a ton of folks who are really interested in this Meshtastic idea.
So it's built right on top of LoRaWAN technology. So it integrates with LoRaWAN gateways, with different types of sensors. In fact, our brand partner, Rack Wireless, has been leading the way, integrating sensor technology into Meshtastic nodes. So not only can you send communication, but you can get weather, temperature data, soil data, all sorts of data over the Meshtastic network, where you previously were limited to having to be in range of the LoRaWAN gateway. You know, you and me met back during the Helium days, and you set up a lot of the Helium gateways, and they would provide coverage over a certain distance. But with Meshtastic, that data can keep hopping. So you can really get that data off the sensors, the LoRaWAN sensors, much further away than you can, you know, with traditional LoRaWAN architecture.
Okay. And you're seeing a lot of businesses that are buying the hardware from you and then probably asking you for help. Walk me through what it looks like on the business side for these businesses that are building stuff around LoRaWAN.
So we're kind of in the, almost like in the gold rush days there. So the technology Meshtastic's been around for some years now. And while I'll never like to use the term perfected, because it certainly isn't perfected, it's as perfected as any technology can be in terms of doing the basics that it's supposed to do. Integration with business is something that's a little bit newer. And this year, Meshtastic actually formed Meshtastic Solutions. It's a dedicated team that will actually work with business integrations. And that's what we're seeing now. We've got a emergency response department in one state that's looking at outfitting LoRaWAN architecture they already have in the state with emergency radios. So they could just basically put radios at each communication hub they already have. The challenge is they have no idea how to integrate that. And that's where our company and Meshtastic Solutions can come in, is working with them on the actual integration, how to use it. More or less, most people are pairing phones with a radio. So you would use like a typical Android or iPhone to send and receive messages. But you don't have to. You can program a Raspberry Pi, a computer, to use Meshtastic. So there's a lot of options for businesses beyond just traditional cell phone usage.
Got it. Okay, so I had thought you guys were just selling hardware, but it sounds like people come to you to buy the hardware and then you say, hey, we can help you with this if you don't know how to use the thing fully. Is that right?
That's right. Absolutely. So we're providing support as well. And we've got a software team too that's looking at different ways to do integration. The software team over at Meshtastic is always coming out with new features as well.
Yeah, I'm always seeing Carl Rowan at Rack Wireless say like, hey, check out this new thing. So those guys are hustling on that side. Okay, so what are some of the other businesses that you're seeing that are buying from you that are doing stuff that maybe you hadn't seen before? You think, oh, that's pretty innovative, or that looks like a really good business?
Yeah, so where we're seeing LoRaWAN right now is a number of different areas. Agriculture, of course, is more common. I think, you know, the agriculture sensors have been around for a while, but it's kind of been a hodgepodge of hardware that doesn't really work well. No specific brand that's focusing on it. So brands are kind of putting out parts that aren't standardized. Racks really fixed that with their WizBlock technology. It's proprietary technology that communicates across their operating systems very well. So we're starting to see a proliferation of usage in environmental monitoring, agriculture, moisture, soil, universities that are collecting data on crops and things of that nature. And then we're seeing it in some unusual places as well, like elder care. You know, we think about nursing homes and people. Regrettably, we probably think like, oh, it was just people sitting there and they go get their pills and they have their visitors. But they're doing some really innovative stuff with LoRaWAN and elder care devices that can track patients, that can monitor things like falls, body temperature, all sorts of things that they can do just from one dedicated device and one dedicated communication stream, so that businesses aren't trying to track a separate GPS and a separate fall detection thing and a separate smartwatch and trying to do all these things. They can do it all from one LoRaWAN device. And we're starting to see that really pick up as well across the country.
Oh, interesting. I mean, my mom's getting in her 80s. She's still pretty active and resisting all attempts to get her anywhere where someone else is around her. She's super independent. But I can see at some point it'd be nice to be able to put a, I don't know, have her put a necklace or a bracelet or whatever on and say like, hey, I just want to know if you fall. And obviously with LoRaWAN, the coverage is almost everywhere, especially with helium. Is that the kind of thing that we're talking about, or is this some other device that I'm not thinking of?
No, something like that. But I mean, you're a data guy, Nick. It goes so much beyond, like, you think, okay, well, you can wear a smartwatch to track a fall, but, you know, does a company really want to integrate different smartwatch for every person? But what they can do aside from just seeing the patient data or getting a fall notification is they can get that data in a broad format right in front of them so they can start to monitor, are we having an excessive amount of falls in a certain facility, for example? Are we having an excessive amount of patients that aren't moving or aren't doing this or aren't, you know, their temperatures? So they can get all sorts of data about the patients in one centralized location just by simply having a few LoRaWAN gateways deployed at a facility and having some type of tracking device or badge for each patient. So that's where I see the real innovation in terms of the data that you can pull out of the technology, not just the technology itself and being able to track or do this, which that technology's been around, but to be able to get it up on the cloud and be able to analyze it is something that's new and growing.
Got it. And I'm imagining just from a business perspective, these, and this sounds horrible, but the elder care homes are like, hey, I don't actually want people to know that I'm not moving my patients all the time or that we have higher falls than other homes. How are you going in and selling to those folks, or how are you seeing that sold as far as value to them? Where they're like, oh yeah, this would be great.
Sure, good question. So we don't actually get the data ourselves. This is companies that are taking the hardware and they're building the solution themselves. So like, for example, we don't necessarily see the data on our clients. And my thinking is that if you're running any type of facility, you'd at least want to be aware of what's going on, even if it's not something that you want to advertise. So maybe you don't want to advertise it, but it might identify problems that you want to fix. I tend to believe that people, for the most part, are good, and that if you're a management in a facility like that, you would probably want to trend over time toward fixing problems. So like lack of motion, too many falls. Maybe you couldn't pay attention to it right away, but I think the goal of those types of companies is to be able to automate that and then see where you need more resources. Nick, I can tell you from being in business for 25 years, one of the key challenges that any business has is making sure that the resources are deployed the right way. I can have 3 employees over here designed, they're basically there to do a task and maybe demand slows. And so those 3 employees are doing tasks that only one employee needs to do. And then over here, I've got increased activity, but I only have one employee trying to do the work that 3 employees have to do. So if I'm not paying attention to my data, I'm sitting there paying 4 employees and I've got inefficiency on both sides. Whereas if I'm looking at the LoRaWAN data and I can see where the inefficiency is, I can say, oh, all I got to do is move 2 employees from here over here, and now I've fixed my problem. And I think that's really what these businesses are trying to do, is identify inefficiencies throughout the process and use technology to correct those inefficiencies.
Okay. So in the same way that we're seeing a lot of sensor data feed into AI models and AI kind of decision makers, you're saying like, hey, the same thing happens for people, is we're just getting more and more of a sensory input into our environment beyond what we can see and smell and taste and touch in our immediate environment. And that's allowing us to make better decisions across businesses.
Exactly. LoRaWAN allows us to get more data quicker, more efficiently from less technology in terms of the number of devices you need. And it allows for better data analysis at the end of the day as well.
Okay. And then you're seeing businesses come to you and say, hey, I want to buy whatever it is, 20 or 30 or 50 or one, whatever the number of devices is. What are some of the challenges that you see those businesses have that you see as opportunities for what Rocklin is doing, where you're like, hey, man, I hadn't thought about this, but this is something that we could really help you out with?
Yes. Where our company comes into play is we help a lot on the fulfillment side. So companies like a university, for example, they might need a few hundred different LoRaWAN gateways, but they don't need them all now. So we can help out on the logistics side. They also need periods of time to evaluate and ask questions. You know, you're taking people that haven't worked with LoRaWAN technology, and the marketing is always ahead of the product, right, in every industry. So the marketing for LoRaWAN is like, oh, super easy, super simple. All you got to do is put up a sensor and your data will connect. And then when you sit down and try to pair a device to the Things Network, you learn that, or ChirpStack, you learn that it's not quite as simple, at least for a layperson, as you let on. So that's where our team will come in as well, is kind of bridge that gap instead of just throwing you cold hardware and say, well, there's your gateway. You know, I don't know how to, you know, hook up the sensors. And
yes.
We don't outsource any of our support here. All of our technical support and sales staff are based right here in our Gainesville, Florida location. So we're able to use our knowledge and experience and our resources. I've actually met with the CEO of Rack in Thailand last week. And, you know, he's a great guy and he runs a great outfit at Rack Wireless. And you, of course, talked to Carl Rowan. And so we also have the full weight of Rack's resources available too. So instead of a company having to reach out and cold call Rack, who's based in China, and kind of, you know, ask questions and wait for an email response 24 hours later, we learned so much from the folks at Rack that we can pass that on to the businesses as well.
That's pretty rad. And I guess the elephant in the room, we're recording this on May 28th of 2025. So there's still a fair amount of uncertainty around tariffs in China. China-U.S. relations. Is there something there where you're like, hey, we really have to be careful here? Or what are your thoughts on kind of moving forward, at least into the kind of summer of 2025 for what you're doing?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Nick, because what the media is doing right now with the tariff coverage is so surface. It's just kind of talking numbers and it's not adding all the numbers up. And it's not looking at every dynamic of the manufacturing process. And look, we're here at Rocklin, we're an America First company. We believe in American jobs. We employ only Americans here at our office, and the ability to bring these items in, there just simply aren't factories here that are making these LoRaWAN gateways. And the news isn't telling people that you're looking at around $50 million up just to build a factory. And you can't just build that factory to make LoRaWAN gateways. To be able to cover the cost, you've got to scale out. I mean, most factories in China, Thailand, Taiwan, they're making products for probably 10, 20, maybe even 50 different brands. Like Foxconn makes, you know, products for... So to be able to scale up and build a factory and bring these jobs back to America right now really isn't in the cards from any realistic standpoint. A larger company like Apple or TSMC, they might be able to invest a little bit more resources. But for companies like ours, you know, we do rely on manufacturing outside the United States, but that's not where everything is done. We do a lot of product design here, like on the Meshtastic side. A lot of the products that you guys see come out from Rocklin Technologies, they're designed here. They're built with parts from our brand partner at Rack Wireless. We'll do the 3D printing casing here, the injection molding here. There's a lot that we do, all the support, all the sales. So tariffs, there's a debate about tariffs. Of course, your audience is probably on either side or the other. And to be honest with you, there's some truth to both sides, right? There is some benefit of having tariffs. There's also some obstacles in having them. So we'll see what comes down the road with the different countries. But right now, since we do a lot of the assembly and we do some of the casings and some of the stuff in-house, we're able to help keep those costs down. We're also able to bring in a lot of extra inventory so that at least for our clients that may be exposed to tariffs in the longer term, like on the gateway side, they can still place orders now and have a consistent output for the rest of the year while we kind of wait and see, you know, where the dust settles. What kind of things are you hearing? I know you were in Spain last week and you talked to a lot of people in the tech space. What are you, you know, I like to talk, but I like to listen too. What are you hearing on the tariff side? And then what are the concerns that you're hearing people express?
I think the general concerns are just around uncertainty and what's going to happen. I think it's good that You know, you've seen this, the crazy demand that can happen back in the helium days in 2021.
Yeah.
And you're preparing for it. So I think that's super, super smart. I mean, generally, I just think people are uncertain and trying to figure out what to do. We'll see how the whole thing shakes out. But last question here. As you look forward to the next, I don't know, 6 months or year, however far ahead you plan out, are there any new products that you're super excited that are coming out that you can tell us about?
Absolutely. So what we're doing in the solar space is extremely cool, and with battery technology as well. It's really cool seeing how, I mean, when we're setting up helium, I know you did some solar panel installations, but it was kind of rare. It was a little bit costly, a little bit cumbersome, and the battery technology wasn't really there. We're seeing both on the LoRaWAN gateway side and Meshtastic a real advancement in the battery availability, the high capacity battery availability, solar panels, the ability to just set up gateway stations, Meshtastic repeater stations in perpetuity that'll just run all the time. But we're doing some real innovative stuff there to bring that cost down, and also looking more at cold storage battery technology, because that's been something that just hasn't caught up to the times yet. We've got customers up north that, hey, everything's great. My gateway runs great all summer and fall. My Meshtastic station does as well. And then come winter, all of a sudden the battery can't take a charge and things of that nature. And of course, there are solutions for it, but they're few and far between and they're costly. So we've got some exciting things coming down the pipeline there. And we're also, on the Meshtastic side, devices are just getting more and more modern. You know, when the technology started, it's a lot of really small screen, kind of bulky 3D prints. It's just that coolness factor of having something. But our design teams, as well as the design teams at Rack and our other brand partners, have really focused on, you know, what other devices can we integrate Meshtastic into, and anything from cell phone cases to tablets to all sorts of stuff. That's the goal, because it's like with helium, Nick. If we had all the base stations around us, the network would have got adopted by users for data throughput a lot quicker. And that's the challenge you have with Meshtastic. If somebody wants to buy one, but they don't know anybody using it, you know, what's the point? So the more available we can make it in the masses, the more the network's going to grow.
Yeah, that's it. Exciting to see it. And funnily enough, Meshtastic is what got me into helium. It was a really new project back in August of 2020. So it's kind of cool to see it come around and get a ton of action. Jason, thanks a ton for coming on. I know you're super busy as a founder running a business, so I appreciate you making the time to share what you got going on at Rockland with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Nick. Always a pleasure, man.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you. So whether you're a business owner, a LoRaWAN professional, or a hobbyist, the intent is to give you great LoRaWAN information. Of course, the best information doesn't come from me. It comes from the conversations we have with the people building and deploying this tech in the real world. And that's where you come in. LoRaWAN is a global patchwork of talent and ideas. And ironically, for a globally connected network, most of the brilliant folks working on it aren't connected yet. Help me change that. Introduce me to someone awesome in your network, someone doing meaningful work in LoRaWAN, or just shoot me a name. I'll take it from there and get them on the show so we can share their work with the world. You can always find me at metsci.show. That's metsci.show, metsci.show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can subscribe, leave a review, share it with your corner of the world. All of those are super helpful. If you'd like to support financially, you can go to support.metsci.show for both one-time and recurring options. We're also open to sponsors. If your company serves the LoRaWAN community and you want to reach this dedicated audience, let's talk. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, create a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 DC for free, which is enough to run a device sending hourly for about a year. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.